Every time I come back, in some way I share about this whole heartache that I have every time I leave home to come back to Dayton. Having said that, I also want to say that it's easier to come back when I know I'm coming back to you. And I mean that from my heart. It's not just something cute I want to say to sound good, but the people that you're with, that's what makes it worth it. So I know it's hard, but I know what I'm coming back to, and thanks for being the people that you are. Of course, the last day, the last hours, and the last moments are intensely emotional. Nobody says anything. The slightest thing can trigger off, you know. Just before I leave, Mom and Dad always pray over me. First, I pray over them. I try to be the priest's son, like praying over them. This time, Dad said, sit on the coffee table. So I sat down, and Dad laid his hands on me. I mean, these are just very holy moments. Dad laid his hands on me, and he's, you know, breaking up as he is praying, and he says his prayer. Now, of course, Mom does the same thing. That is the hardest part, when Mom would do say the prayer. And for some reason, my mom always surprises me with her prayers over me. This time, she prayed in our language. She prayed something like this. I'm trying to translate it to the best that I can, but it always falls short. But she prayed something like, "Loving God, bless the people of my son's parish, whom you have called him to serve." So while she's blessing me, she's actually praying for you guys. Right? "Bless them and let them know your love through him." And this is what is surprising about my mother. She is always able to rise above that immediate situation, the immediate crisis. And she's able to look at the big picture. And I think this is just women. I don't think this world gives enough credit to women. Women are just, as they get older, they really get strong inside, and men become like crybabies, right? I don't hear the men laughing, but okay. But women, they have this amazing, and my mother, She's always, not just with regard to praying, but with everything else, she's just able to look at this big picture. She did this when I was 16 and I was leaving home. And she's still doing it now that I'm 48. In her simple prayer, my mother had lifted us up out of our gloom. Here's Dad and I trying to figure out how do we say bye to each other. And suddenly Mom says this prayer. "Son," she's almost saying, "son, you have something bigger to go, right?" So we still wept as we parted, but it was not a hopeless cry. I couldn't get this off my head. So even as I read the readings, I'm preparing this homily on my flight back, my long 15-hour flight back, and I could not shake this off my mind, what Mom had just done. And then I read the readings, and everything clicked. I realized as I read the readings how important it is for us to both discover and stay connected to the eternal meaning of our lives, not just the immediate stuff. How are our lives connected to eternity? And I think that is precisely what my mother was doing as she prayed over me. And I think this is what Jesus is doing as he begins his ministry and called more disciples to follow him. Last week you heard the call of Andrew. But Jesus takes this further, and we have four people today, and Jesus calls them. What was Jesus doing? He preaches first. He says, "The time of fulfillment has come. The kingdom of God is at hand, and that's the focus. That is the central message of Jesus. The very first thing he preaches is, the kingdom of God is at hand. Then he says, repent and believe in the gospel. What is Jesus doing? He's presenting his mission statement. He's setting his goal. He's connecting his earthly ministry to the eternal plan of God. It's not about just the immediate stuff. He's finding the connection of his ministry with eternity. And he does that by proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. So ushering the kingdom of God, bringing in God's presence, bringing in God's kingdom, that is what will give Jesus' earthly ministry the eternal meaning. And just like Jesus called disciples to join him in that cause, folks, today Jesus is now calling you and me. So I want to talk a few things about the call. It's a very talked about topic, but I want to address this idea of the call in three questions. Whom does God call? Why does God call? And what is it that you and I can do? So first, whom does God call? God is calling anybody who wants to hear, who is willing to hear. In last week's first reading, you had Samuel. He was barely 12 years old. 12 years old. This morning, we baptized a kid, hardly 3 months. God is calling. God is calling anybody who wants to hear. In today's first reading, you have Jonah, who initially was a rebel. If God instructed him to go right, his instinct was to go left. That's what he did till he got thrown out of the whale's belly. God even called somebody like Jonah, whose instinct was to rebel. God called. And then you have in today's reading, Andrew and Peter and James and John. They were ordinary folks going about their routine and mundane lives. They were fisher folk. Gospel tells us that. They were mending their nets. They were doing the ordinary mundane things of life. If Jesus wanted, he could have gone to the temple and invited the high priest. He could have invited members of the Sanhedrin. He could have invited the Pharisees. But that's not where he went. Jesus went to the seashore. And he spoke to ordinary folks. How many of us feel ordinary? We're just ordinary folks. How many of us get tired of our ordinary lives? Our mundane routines and sometimes our robotic existence. I certainly can connect with Jonah, the rebel. So many times God asks me to go this way and I so want to run away from it. We're ordinary folks. Who am I? Just an ordinary parish priest. And for you, there is work. There are children, marriage, babies, school, homework, eat, sleep, wake up, and then do the same thing all over again. The next day. So what is the good news in all of this? The good news is this, that it is people like us that Jesus called. These guys were just ordinary people, uneducated. Nobody would think of accomplishing anything meaningful with this bunch of guys, but that's who God calls. He says, come after me. And they did. Not a single person here tonight can say, I'm not worthy of the call. I'm just an ordinary person. Guess what? That's exactly who Jesus called. People like you and me. Why does Jesus call? So there are two reasons why Jesus calls. The first reason is a very broad reason. Jesus calls because God loves people like us, ordinary folks. Remember that famous verse from John? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God would love every person to know that he or she is loved. That's the primary message. Not everybody feels that way. But that doesn't take away from the fact that God loves people. And then there is a more particular reason. Jesus calls because he wants us to join hands with him in his cause. He has got a cause. He has a mission. He has the good news of the gospel. He has something to say, and he's asking people, hey, would you join hands with me? Let's do this together. Jesus could do it alone, but that's not what Jesus does. He says, I want people, would you join hands with me? To do what? To do what? To make earth as beautiful as heaven. And I'm not making this up. Thy kingdom come is what he taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come. And then Jesus begins his ministry by saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heaven is at hand if you will join your hands with me. And those who heard him would join hands with him. And so Jesus invites us. He says, let's make earth as beautiful as heaven. How? He said, follow me. Follow my path of peace, of non-violence, of righteousness, of faith and hope in God, of selflessness, of generosity, of kindness, of compassion and love. Isn't that what we expect to see in the kingdom of God when we die? And Jesus says, don't have to wait till you die. We can do this now. Join hands with me. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. This is why Jesus calls. First, because God loves. And secondly, he wants people to join hands with him to make our earth as beautiful as heaven. So what can you and I do? How can we work for the kingdom of God that Jesus came to build? How can we do that? I want to take you back to my mother who prayed over me. She lifted her eyes, she saw the big picture, and she saw the greater cause to which I'm called. And she saw the greater cause for which we need to part company, even though it's hard. There is a cause for which we must part company. She sees the vision that God sees. And I have much to learn from my mother. Like her, to build the kingdom of God is to have Jesus' vision. What does God see when he looks at the world? What does Jesus see when Jesus looks at the world? And really, this is a very important question. How does God look at us? What is God's vision? When God looks at the world, does not God first and foremost see God's children? Those of you who are parents, none of you have perfect children, and I'm not a perfect child for my parents, but what do my parents see first? They see a son. Yeah, I've got my idiosyncrasies and kinks, but what do they see first? A son. What do you see in your child? A son or a daughter? That's what you see first. When God looks at the world, does not God first and foremost see God's children rather than black and white and brown and gay and straight and married and divorced and all that stuff? Does it make God happy to see us kill each other in God's name and in the name of religion? In God's name, we hate people. In God's name. When God sees all the violence we carry out in the name of patriotism and religion and race or wealth, is that how God created us? Is heaven like earth? Or is it supposed to be the other way around? The kingdom of God is at hand. I think Jesus is asking you and me to join hands with Him to make earth as beautiful as heaven. Maybe we need to repent for our short-sightedness. Maybe we need to believe in the gospel more radically. So today God is asking us to broaden our horizon, to focus on the kingdom of God instead of on our petty differences. God is calling us to join hands with Jesus, to adopt His vision, to follow Him. He's calling us to be disciples. He is calling us to be disciples. He's calling us to make earth like heaven. Folks, every Eucharist, in some ways, a little taste of heaven. Look at us here today. Nobody's fighting. Is anybody fighting? Where is our focus? Our focus is on the love of this God who now comes to give Himself to us in bread and wine. This is a little taste of heaven, and God says, now take this. Come on, follow me. When you go, wherever you go tomorrow, let's take this. Let's make it beautiful. People of God said,